You are now listening to the U92 Sports Podcast Series. This broadcast is brought to you by WWVU-FM, West Virginia University's college radio station.
All right, baseball fans, it's time for the best baseball minds U92 has to offer. Joe Mitchin and Brandon Vansicle will take you around the diamond year-round, from the winter meetings to spring training, all the way to the World Series. This is Going Yard, and it starts right now.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Going Yard, U92's baseball podcast. And today we're having what I like to call severe overreaction podcast, because we're going to rate top 10 of the top offseason signings by how they've done in the first week. So, obviously, all of this was a grain of salt, but, you know, I mean, it's the first impression that we get of these guys in new uniforms. I'm Nick Villano. I'm your host. We have a different crew today. We have Ryan Fadis, the sports staff's comedian. How are we doing today, Ryan?
Doing good. Looking forward to talk some baseball.
Some rawhide, as one Joe Mitchin likes to call it. And then we got, from the NBA Fast Break, Mr. Steve Accardi. Steve, how are we doing?
Doing well. My third different podcast of the week. I'm just mixing it up a little bit.
That's how we roll. You were talking a little movies earlier this week, and then you were talking about basketball as usual.
Man, you're going all out.
I know. I'm trying to immerse myself in the radio station, trying to get everything
working your way.
Exactly. I'm just trying to get my name out there.
I hear you. That's what it's all about.
Let's get into it.
All right. So we're going to get right into it with one of the biggest signings, one of the more surprising signings in my opinion. We have Masahiro Tanaka going to the New York Yankees. So far this season, he is 1-0 in two starts. He's got 3.21 ERA. 1.00 whip and 18 strikeouts. He's been really 18 strikeouts against one walk. He's already given up two home runs, which is a little concerning in that ballpark, but he's striking people out at an intense rate.
I look at it like this. That ballpark, it's like the opposite of Citi Field, the Mets ballpark. There, it's impossible. Yankee Stadium, it's basically almost nothing. Almost anyone can jack one out of there. And if I'm not mistaken, it was at home when he gave those two home runs. So it's still not too bad, but obviously you don't like to see that right from your starting pitcher, but he should be all right.
Two home runs, that's fine. We're not even worried about it. Everyone gives up home runs. 18 strikeouts to one walk. That's how you know he has control of his ball. That's how you know his location is on point. He's hitting the blacks. And plus, Tanaka throws hard. So it's not surprising that he lets up a couple home runs. He throws gas.
Yeah, He's eased into both of his starts. He started off a little rough. I think he allowed three runs in the first inning in both starts. Five total runs earned.
That's
the numbers
not bad, though.
Yeah, the numbers aren't bad. They're definitely not bad, especially for your first two major league starts of your career. I think the Yankees couldn't have asked for more at this point.
And he went seven strong too. So seven strong with 300 runs. Any pitcher will take that. Absolutely. Except for Kershaw, because he's selfish.
The one thing I will say, it is early to see what he can further do. I say give it till May, June, July, those summer months. It's still very, very early, like you said.
Do you think this is one of those guys that once the tape comes out on him? Because I mean, Daisuke dominated that in his first.
Two years.
Good.
Right.
So, and then it kind of like the tape came out on that gyro ball, and they just realized that's just a splitter.
Right. Well, the whole thing with Tanaka is they're like, is he going to end up like Daisuke? Or is he going to be like Yu Darvish? Jury's still out on that. It's a whole wait and see thing. Now, I say give him a year, year and a half. Then I think by then we will fully know what he's capable of.
Well, he's definitely not Daisuke because his delivery doesn't take 3 minutes. That was brutal to watch.
The first
Japanese
pitcher I remember watching was Hideo Nomo.
I remember him, yep.
And he, like, literally turned around and saw second base when he did his windup and then came back around and
you know why he was so hard to hit? It's because literally you cannot tell what ball he's going to throw. Like, you cannot – normally with a curveball, like, you watch Curtin Clayshaw does a great job of hiding what pitch he wants to throw. He's not going to, like, to the last minute, he'll show his wrist breaking or, you know, he'll show a straight up fastball. That's why Nomo was so good. Tanaka's got, honestly, he's got perfect form, too. That's why he's their best signing.
The biggest, The biggest thing is that this just reminds me, like, talking about that reminds me of Dontrell Willis. Dontrell Willis was the best pitcher in baseball for 2 years. Yeah. And he had this funky windup where he almost kneed himself in the face.
Yep, I remember that.
And people started figuring out that he pitched differently for curveballs, for changeups, and for fastballs. They couldn't figure it out at first because they were trying to see the ball. But once they saw the way his movement changed, then they started to figure him out, and he was out of baseball in 5 years.
Yeah, he was awful. His last two.
So bad.
Had like a 13 ERA, I swear.
Yeah. So that's the only worry you want to have with these new pitchers that pitch a little differently. Now, Tanaka's more of a traditional pitcher than those guys.
Yeah, he doesn't have a funky gyro ball. It's not a funky windup.
Straight to the point.
Exactly. I mean, that's why I think he'll be. It all depends on how good his stuff can be. If he can be consistent with it. And, you know, I know the Japanese MLB season is kind of crazy. He pitches a lot of innings. He's going to be able to do the durability through the whole MLB season. That's a big question. You know, that's a big thing that Daisuke kind of got fanned out towards the end of the year. So, you know, that's something you have to, you know, keep in mind and take notice of.
Now, we're going to switch gears to a former Yankee. We're going to jump right to Robinson Cano. Probably this offseason's biggest signing. I think he was the biggest player on the free agent market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Signed, I believe, a 10-year, 225, was it?
Yeah,
some ridiculous.
I don't know. I think it was it 10 years? I think it was 7.
I think it was 10.
It was 10? Jesus.
Jacoby got 7.
Oh, my God. How
And Miguel Cabrera, he also got a 10-year contract.
Well, he got a 10-year 300.
A 10-year contract? That's
just way too much.
10-year, $240 million contract for Robinson Cano.
Okay, that's no one.
But still, 10 years, like you said, is way too long.
That's stupid.
And he's already 31, so the contract's going to end when he's 41, and that's just, you're paying a 41-year-old to...
I mean, second base isn't that hard. You can play second base till you
die. It's not that. I think it's more the hitting aspect and the bat speed.
I mean, you know, Cano...
It declines, obviously.
Obviously, Cano's home run numbers are going to drop. But if he can still hit for average, I mean, Seattle's got a nice young team, and you put a superstar like him in the middle, I think they can be good. Cause
well,
you know,
let's talk about the power numbers, because he has none so far.
Well, he's got no home runs. I also look at it.
He only has two RBIs, too.
So I look at it like this, though. As he gets older, luckily for him still being in the AL, they could put him at DH.
That's a great point, absolutely.
So he has that going for him. He also, I just look at this, in 30 at bats, he's hitting 300, which is good. He's got 10 hits, I think. He's 9 hits. 9 hits over 30 at bats. The problem is, I think, around him in this lineup, you have Justin Smoke, who strikes out a ton.
He sucks.
Yeah, he's just not very good.
Let's not sugarcoat it. He sucks.
the Seattle lineup isn't very good in general.
It's mostly the pitching that gets them places.
Yeah, I mean, you got like the Willie Bloomquists of the world and, Logan Morrison's.
Yeah, Logan Morrison's not.
I mean, I look at this, and Kyle Seager's the only other hitter that is pretty good on this team. And the jury's still out on him. So the problem with Cano, I think, is that he needs those power numbers to be considered successful on the Seattle team. Because there's nobody else there who's going to do them.
No. He's basically almost like, on offense at least, he's almost like a one-man team, per se. But, I mean, obviously when you get switching over to defense, you got King Felix going tonight against the A's, who historically does extremely well against.
He does pretty good against everybody.
Yeah, he's...
But, I mean, look what he does against the A's.
What's his ERA? It's like ..
It's something ridiculous, but he does... Like, he'll strike out like 10 guys or something like that, no problem, against the A's, so...
See, but the thing is about Seattle, they're 5-3 right now. I think they're pretty good. Their farm system is out of this world, though. It's
right,
up there
so
with the Red Sox.
Couple years.
It's up there with the Cardinals. It's up there with Houston. It's top five,
Miami's got a really good farm system.
Miami.
After that trade with the Blue Jays, they stacked up that farm system. And, like, a lot of people talk about how bad, and this is off topic, but a lot of people talked about how bad that Toronto trade was. I didn't think it was that bad because they got top prospects. It wasn't like how the Red Sox and Dodgers made that trade where the Red Sox got James Loney in return. They just
They got Robbie Del Rosa, and he's going to be good.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Marlins got five top...
Oh yeah,
top prospects. That Blue Jays farm system was great. With they lost Denard to the Mets Ari Dickey trade. They lost like four other really
high
guys. So
I mean, in Miami, they're all young. Like, look at their entire team; they're all young. But I think
I would love me some John.
Everyone talks about how ridiculous the Cardinals bullpen is, or how the Cardinals farm system is. I think Houston has the best one.
Right now, they might just because they've had so many years of
and they
top
have so
picks
many young kids. You can see it now. They have so they're gonna have so many.
Jose Altuve might be really, really good.
He's
one day.
He's gonna be nasty. But back to Seattle, I think 2-3 years are going to be very good. As long as you can keep King Felix on the roster.
Well,
King
Felix is there for 8 more years.
I know. As long as he can stay healthy and be there, you got to add probably some bullpen. You need a good closer.
Francisco Rodney's not too bad, though.
Yeah, he's old, though. He's 41.
Gets the job done.
So I think you just need to add a couple more pieces, and then you're going to be great. You have Cano till he's done.
Yeah, you have Cano until his career's over.
Well, I mean, a 10-year contract, that's pretty much someone's career right there.
It's at least,
cases.
Like, if Mike Trout signed a 10-year contract, then he'd probably get another at least 8 year after that if he goes.
Probably. That's
because he's only 22? All right,
yeah.
For most people, you don't get that 10-year contract until you're at least 27, at least.
Which doesn't make any sense, but
by that time you're done.
That's just
anyways
how it works. Who knows? We're going to switch gears, go to the National League. We start with the American League. A lot of these are going to be American Leagues, but there are a couple National League guys that I wanted to bring up. Mark Trumbo. Now, Mark Trumbo's not a guy that they brought in there for average. They didn't bring him in to hit 350. They didn't bring him in there to, you know, get the dribblers. They brought him in there to crush the ball, and he's done that.
Yeah.
I think he's still tied for the league lead with 5 home runs. He has 13 RBIs, and that's in 1 week. A little over now, I guess. It's like a week and a half.
Yeah, give or take.
He's on pace to crush his numbers last year, and he hit 34 home runs and 100 RBIs last year. He's moving to an easier park to hit in.
Absolutely.
And Chase Field.
He's got crazy insurance behind him, too.
Right, he's got
Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know if Goldschmidt's in front of him or behind him.
Goldschmidt's in front of him. Goldschmidt usually is
3 and then Trumbo's 4?
No, Trumbo's like sometimes in the middle. He could be like 5 or 6.
I mean,
I think Trumbo's going to end up being the number 5. I think Goldschmidt will be the number 4.
Well, Goldschmidt intertwines between 3rd and cleanup. So it all depends on where he is. I mean, it varies from night to night.
I mean, we know
where they put Aaron Hill in that 3 spot.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that.
Cody Ross might be in that 3 spot. There's a couple guys in this team.
You got a lot of different moves.
I mean, honestly, Arizona's got a lot of hitting. They just have no goddamn pitching.
Except for Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah, they got
Arroyo. The only consistent one.
Let's go.
Well, they had the one guy who got hurt.
And he can hit,
Cahill,
too.
Yeah. He can hit home runs like no other.
Did Trevor Cahill get hurt? Is that the one that got hurt?
Cahill got rocked, though, in his last matchup. So we'll have to see what they do with him. I think he is on the DL, though, now.
There's another guy that had to get Tommy John for that.
I mean, they give up a lot for Trumbo. I'm not the biggest fan.
Was Patrick Corbin the Diamondbacks guy that had to go?
Yeah.
There were so many this season that I... And now Matt Moore looks like he's on his way to Tommy John surgery, too. So that's an epidemic that... We don't want to be depressed here. We want to talk stats. So going back to Trumbo, I think this is a great signing for Arizona. It's looking like they got a real blue chipper.
Didn't they trade for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great trade for them. He was a late bloomer. He didn't get into the league until he was 25.
Yeah.
He's 28 now, crushing the ball, just crushing it on a daily basis. The strikeouts are high. That's 184 strikeouts is a concern.
That's
it's
up there with Napoli.
But he only has 9 so far this year, and that's still high. But it's not, like he was like league leader Adam Dunn style high last year. So this year he's at least a little more patient at the plate.
That's probably something different. I mean, too, that the Diamondbacks do than the Rangers or than the Angels. They probably train them differently. Their hitting coaches are obviously different than the Angels one, so they probably teach them a bunch of different things. And I've noticed that a lot, especially watching the Red Sox, is they've been extremely patient at the plate. A lot of teams now are really just sitting back, just kind of waiting for that pitch. And not only does that help them out, it racks up that pitch count of the opposing pitchers, so they can only last like 4 or 5 innings.
And it gets in the pitcher's head, too. Like, literally, if you're trying to get people to chase and not chasing, that means you got to throw strikes. That means you're going to get more hits, and the outfielders are going to, you know, they're going to have to make more plays. That's for a pitcher.
The whole fielders are going to get tired because they have to work harder. And
well, they have to stand up.
I mean, pitchers don't want to have, they don't want to have any question about it. You want Ks, you want strikeouts, because there's no room for error there.
Yeah. It's all on you then.
Yeah. And that's the way they like it. Trumbo, you know, we'll see if he can keep it up. I think he had a breakout year. His first 2 years in Anaheim, he was kind of, you know, not really a factor. He's kind of in the back.
He was
burner.
A great power hitter.
He was okay. He was okay. I went to a couple of Angels games when I was in Los Angeles. He is decent. Not as everyone thought he was going to be the next, like, White Vlad, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really work out for him.
We're going to go to a guy who's not having such a good start. We're going to look at Johnny Peralta. Now, Johnny Peralta was big name because of the... he was a good player for the Detroit Tigers.
Still is a good player.
He was on the Biogenesis report. Got suspended 50 games last year. Missed most of the season. I think they put him in the lineup in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, he was on fire. I think he hit 480 in the playoffs.
I think it's right here.
Or not something, not
480. He hit 333, but I think he hit 480 really in that first series.
Okay, that's what I was going
to say. That's insane.
Yeah, he hit 333 with 6 RBIs.
He was the biggest factor in the Tigers series, Tigers-Red Sox series. Absolute killer.
And now he's with St. Louis. He signed with St. Louis over the offseason. 9 games so far, he's hitting .069. 29 at-bats, only 2 hits.
He's in a slump. It's all right. I mean,
he's got 6 strikeouts.
The best part is those 2 hits are home runs.
So that helps a little bit, too.
But
Peralta's like, all right, regular season, that means nothing to me. I don't care. He's a postseason killer. That's what he is, honestly.
But here's the problem is if you don't perform in the regular season. Like, what happened to DJ Upton last year?
He's not making the postseason roster.
He can play defense, though. Barely. I mean, the shortstop they had last year.
They don't want barely.
What was their kid?
Oh, I forget his name.
Cosmo. Had an awful offseason.
I thought he was going to be good, too.
So, I think Peralta, honestly, he's been playing well defensively. Can hold his own. He's going to be, but honestly, the NL does not have, unless you're facing Kershaw and Greinke, don't have the best pitching. I think the best pitching's in the AL.
You could combat that, but I'll hear what you're going.
I'll combat it all day. But I think, you know, he's starting off with a slump. He's going to turn around. Maybe they sit him a couple games. He's too talented of a guy putting up these terrible numbers.
I don't expect him to hit 6% of his or 7% of his at-bats this year.
Plus, look at his career. He's very, very, very streaky. That's one of his things. He's kind of like a J.R. Smith type and MLB. Sorry, I had to make a basketball reference.
But well, he, I hear what you mean.
I mean, last year was the first year he ever hit over 300 on a season. He hit .239 the year before.
Like I said, very streaky.
Yeah, he's...
He doesn't hit for average. He hits for power, somewhat.
Which is wicked surprising for a shortstop.
Well, he tries to hit for power, but
he's streaky with that, too. He'll hit 20 home runs, and he'll hit, like, 12. Like, he's a streaky.
He's either really good or he's really bad.
I mean, the Cardinals are better off having him than they are without him.
I mean, that's Cardinals are set. They're a playoff team. So he's going back, and we'll see what they do with him. Or we'll see if he... First of all, we'll see if he makes the postseason roster.
Yeah.
And if he
That's way down the line.
That's way down the line, but if he...
This is the overreaction podcast. This is what we're doing right now.
Well, we're going to take it down a notch, all right?
No, we're at 11 over here. We're going to move on. We're going to go to another Yankee. Former Red Sox.
Okay.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
He's been raking.
He's been raking the ball. No, not a lot of power numbers.
It's Jacoby. He doesn't have power.
He doesn't hit for power.
One year we had 32 home runs. Last year, he did not even come close to that. Yeah.
But you got to figure he's also hurt most of the time.
Wait a couple weeks. Wait a couple weeks. He'll be on the DL.
But let's talk about what he's done already.
I don't care. I'm just kidding. Let's go.
Need to care. He's hit .351.
Yeah.
He's already got 4 stolen bases, which I think is the biggest thing because Brett Gardner hasn't gotten off to the fastest start.
I love Gardner, no pun intended.
But I think he only has 2 stolen bases in a year, and I think he's only hitting .240 something.
I mean, honestly,
plus if you're Jacoby, he'll get you stolen bases. He won't get you home runs, but that's what you want to see from someone like him.
Yeah, especially if he's going to lead off.
He's been great for the leadoff. I think he's actually out of the lineup. No, Brett Gardner's out of the lineup tonight. So
I think
Jacoby's hitting him third right now. Which I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
That's dumb. but I mean, the Red Sox did that a couple times when he was on a hot streak. When he's hot, he's unbelievable. And back to stealing bases, I think he's like arguably top 3 for fastest players in MLB.
Yeah,
put him up.
I would love to see like
put him out there with Michael Bourne.
We used to talk about that when Crawford was up there in that list. Carl Crawford. It was him and him, Jose Reyes, and another guy in the Mets that was really fast. He was like a not a big guy. I can't remember his name, but we always used to say who would win a race, Jose Reyes or Carl Crawford.
Carl Crawford would absolutely tear up Jason Varitek. It was awful to watch. He had 6 stolen bases in one game.
I just remember that was
a nightmare.
I had a rookie Carl Crawford in MVP 2005 because I did like a fantasy draft.
Right,
and
yeah.
Mike Piazza was in my league. Now, I don't know if you guys remember Mike Piazza. Great power hitter.
Yeah, of course, yeah. From New York Mets, the best hitting catcher of all time.
But
he had
a noodle for an arm. Like, I think his rating was 20-something in arm strength in the game. So, literally.
So, what'd he do? Throw just back to the pitcher then when he was trying to pick
off? It would take,
a
like, an hour and a half to throw it to second base. So, I would just I ruined Mike Piazza's life in that game. Because I had Carl Crawford and then Sean Figgins.
Okay.
When Sean Figgins was good.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare for him. But going back to Jacoby Ellsbury, I think he can really affect this team if he could stay on the field. I think that's the main thing.
Well, he's one of the best players, best outfielders.
When he's healthy.
When he's healthy. But when is that? When is that? He's played one full year when he hasn't been healthy. And even
him 3 full years. Because in 08 and 09, he was 145 games played in 153. Yeah. So I'd give that a full year. And then you got 2011, 158, obviously. Ooh. Every other year, though.
Yeah, but he was, I'm talking like nagging injuries. The guy just doesn't have bad luck. And he's not notably tough. He doesn't play through injuries. Look at last year. He did the same thing with Clay Buchholz. I'm not ready yet. I'm not going to come back. Oh, the Red Sox are having trouble? Oh, no, I'm not going to come back yet. He's getting crucified in Boston. People were happy to see him leave. He's a great player. You guys paid bank for him. But that's
I think they were paid.
Oh, I was just going to say they
definitely
did.
That's the same deal. Like, honestly, you're going to get Chu, you're going to get Ellsbury. You overpay for it, you know.
I think
both those deals are crazy, but we're going to get into that later. But I just... Jacoby is a good... One of the best when signing. The best signing in the offseason when healthy. But that's a big, 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 big if. I put, honestly, you know who he reminds me of? Aqib Talib. Aqib Talib. One of the best cornerbacks in health in football when he's healthy, but he's never healthy.
Well, let's move on to, you know, you brought up Sin-Soo Choo. Why don't we talk about him?
Absolutely.
Sin-Soo Choo is, last time I checked, he was doing pretty well. Let's just double-check that. Yep, 355 start of the season. Another guy who's a leadoff guy. Really good. When he's really good.
Yeah.
He was one of the main reasons why the Cincinnati Reds made the playoffs last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, last year he was insane. He did 21 home runs, 112 walks.
He
clearly. From the leadoff position. So, you know.
Excellent patience.
Yeah, his on-base percentage is out of this world.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that's scary about Texas, and they've been absolutely, you know, raking offensively. Is that he gets on base, and then the lineup is just stacked throughout. 7-8. The whole lineup, even 9, is insane.
Yeah, and once they get Jerks and Profar back, it's going to be even better. I don't know what his prognosis is. I haven't seen it. But if he does come back sometime this season, him getting back in the lineup and his speed back in the lineup to go along with Chu and a couple other guys. Chu hasn't shown the speed so far this season. But he can steal. He stole 20 bases in 4 of the last 5 years. And the other year was hurt, so.
Right, so, I mean, I'd kill him that off, but still.
I mean, right now the biggest number for me is the fact that he has as many walks as he has strikeouts. I think that's
awesome.
Huge for your leadoff hitter. So.
And also looking at his past seasons, he has a lot of walks. I mean, most of them are pretty close to what he has for strikeouts, so that's what you like to see. He's incredibly patient at the plate.
Yeah, 2012 was the only bad season he had when he had 73 walks, 150 strikeouts. I think that the whole, because that was his first contract year. I think that kind of got in his head a little bit. But every other season, he's been great at that. Do you think that, I mean, I know you and me were on the sports page together, Steve, and I know you talked about the NL, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see, we were very curious what was going to happen with the West. Do you feel any different about it? Now one weekend.
No. No. I mean, honestly, I knew Texas is going to rake. They always start off hot. When you have that much offense, you're going to have, you know, a great start. I just don't know if Texas's pitching is that deep. Oakland hasn't really been...
They haven't wowed me yet because they have a really good team, But they really need to, I don't know, they got to get something going. They haven't wowed me yet.
I mean, they don't wow you ever by looking at the roster, honestly.
But they get the job done. I've been high on them, though.
I know. They're 6-3. I picked the A's to win the West, and I'm still going to stand by that because I don't think Texas has enough pitching. Pitching wins championships. Oakland did lose Grant Belfour. I think that's going to have a huge effect on it, even though they do have some very good young kids that come and fill the role.
Jim Johnson just lost the closer role. He just got pulled from a hit an 18.9 ERA.
I know.
But Ryan Cook, they need to give that guy a shot.
Ryan Cook is so good.
They keep taking him out of the closer's role. I don't understand.
His stuff is so... That, he has the flu. He's sick. All right.
I like it.
Now, we're going to go back. We're going to move on to a pitcher now.
This is probably the most surprising move for me, honestly, in the offseason.
I thought this guy was a pirate. I thought he was.
Not even. I'm kind of pissed off that he left.
You're not Red Sox fan pissed off because the guy left the Pirates.
I'm all about loyalty.
You knew AJ Burnett from these Yankee days. He had no loyalty. He didn't care.
It's all about the money.
I mean, honestly,
look at it like where he's
look
been.
His mug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not, no, I'm talking about like look at his career. I mean, he's never in one place for very long.
I mean, he was on Florida for a
while. Except for Florida, that's it.
He was locked into a rookie deal. That's why he couldn't leave.
Yeah, so then look at Toronto, New York.
Yeah, you have arbitration. You have all
Pittsburgh,
the other fun stuff.
Who knows how long it'll last in Philly.
I mean, I think this is a one-year deal, to be honest. Okay. I think he might retire after that. Well, I know it's a one-year deal, but I think that it is going to be a one-year deal.
This is the thing that aggravated me. He said, I hate guys that go against their word. I'm not going anywhere besides Pittsburgh.
He did say that.
Yes, he did.
He said it was either Pittsburgh or retirement, and then he went to Philly.
Well, isn't that pretty much the same thing?
I'm not going anywhere besides
Pittsburgh except going home.
Yeah, I
know what you mean. Yeah,
so,
it makes complete sense.
And then you just kind of flip on him and go to. It could have been inner dealings. He could have got offended by the owner. Pittsburgh's a very, very good team. I don't know why. You know, when you're a guy who finally has some success, finally get the team to go to the postseason, and then you go to Philly, who sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his whole career. He did get a ring with Florida. Toronto was awful with him.
He got a ring with the Yankees.
I was going to say, you got a ring with New York.
Okay.
Yeah, 2009.
He did.
And he was very good in that season that year. But he was terrible. Terrible the rest of his career. Even that season, he had a 4.04 ERA. The next 2 years, 5.26, 5.15.
Oh, I love when Burnett was on the mound against the Sox. Woo! We're getting a W!
Yep, all day. Well, that's pretty much not only for the Sox, but for everyone.
For everybody. Yeah.
He had a negative WAR 1 year, like negative.
I don't know. I think he found his niche in Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to be that good in Philly.
He's 0-for-1 right now with only 6 strikeouts.
But he has a 3.86 ERA. Now he gets himself into jams because he got a 1.71 WHIP, which is terrible.
Yeah, like, that's awful.
That's almost two hitters. That's almost two basemen per inning that you're on. He's got to get that down.
And he's not young enough
well,
to have
problem,
that.
And to be honest, he's allowed a lot of runs. They just, 4 of them were unearned. He's allowed 9 runs.
I'm going to say this, too. Also, the Phillies, he's probably not going to get much run support at all.
You got, like, what? One guy, like, on that team.
Who can
Chase
Utley's
been raking. Chase Utley's probably the MVP right now.
Yeah, he's the only one doing anything. Jimmy Rollins
like
is old.
I'm a big Dominic Brown fan.
Dominic Brown could play. I heard somebody say that Dominic Brown was going to platoon with John Mayberry Jr., and I almost left in this person's face. I was like, you need to chill. Dominic Brown was one of the probably comeback player of the game
last year.
So I don't know what these people are thinking in Philly, but AJ Burnett's gonna
They're
I think this
fans.
Is gonna be
they're not thinking, that's their problem.
this might become the worst signing of the offseason.
I can't say that. Worst yet. It's probably gonna end up looking very
bad. How much was his contract?
$16 million.
That's $16 million too much.
Wow. $16 million?
Yeah, for 1 year.
He's not that good.
What the hell?
I'm saying, why couldn't I be a pitcher? Because
I know, right?
I get paid $16 million.
I could probably do better than him.
Yeah.
All right, wow. Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he's not good at all.
I mean, I can't say that. He was great with Pittsburgh.
No, he was good
Pittsburgh
with Pittsburgh.
Because Pittsburgh is so good defensively, and they're going to get you run support. And then you have Grilly behind you who's going to lock down anything? Come on.
So, we're going to go to the last Yankee on this list.
I think it's going to be the best signing, honestly. Watch.
I thought you said Tanaka was the best signing.
For pitching-wise.
Okay. So, Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Been doing it forever.
He's 36 years old right now. He won a World Series in St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
He carried the Houston Astros to the World Series in 2004.
Yeah.
Then he signed that monster contract with the Mets. Didn't work out too well.
But it wasn't awful, though.
No, he was still a really good player.
Yeah, 41 home runs, 33. I mean, that's what you like to see. Yeah.
27. I mean,
those are good numbers.
Those
right
last
there.
Three.
Yeah, he dropped off.
Two of those last 3 years, he got hurt. And everybody remembers him staring at the last pitch of that St. Louis series. In 2008, I believe it was. He watched strike three in the end of the series in game seven. So that's why he had a bad taste in his mouth.
Yep, my roommate was not too happy about that.
But, so New York brings him in. They brought him in to be a postseason guy. I mean, you look at his postseason stats. He's a 333 hitter in his career in the postseason.
He's scary.
He's got 16 home runs for his career. He's 13 doubles is crazy. I mean, he's a very, very good postseason hitter.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The whole thing with them, though, is they have to make the postseason first when that AL East is so tight.
We were talking about this on the sports page. Any one of those teams could win any other division.
I'm not really so high on the Red Sox, but...
I'm still sticking by them.
It's way early to be down on the
Red
Sox.
If you're relying on a 38-year-old to be your offense, you got a problem.
Yeah, but it's a 38-year-old that literally does nothing except for hit. He doesn't have to get in the field.
Doesn't matter.
The probability of getting hurt is a little lower.
If we got Matt Kemp, this wouldn't be a problem, but continue.
Matt Kemp, do you think Matt Kemp's getting dealt this year?
Yes. He's hurt again.
Is he hurt again?
Yeah, there's no way he's not getting dealt. You have Crawford, who's going to be, he's been, you know, consistent, 280, been great for them.
Yeah, he's been decent since he came back.
Puig is an ass, but
he's good.
Yeah. He's wicked good. And then I like Andre Ethier.
I like Andre Ethier, too.
If I could take any one of the outfielders, I'm taking Ethier, honestly.
But with Carlos Beltran, yeah, I mean, he hasn't been great so far, but he's been what you expect. He's got one home run, .273 batting average, four runs and four RBIs. I mean,
it's starting off. That's not bad. Okay, a lot more.
In the postseason, I can see him being the DH role, honestly.
Over Soriano?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Who would you put in the field? Soriano or Ichiro on the field?
Ichiro. Think of how fast that outfield is.
Yeah,
he's a liability. That's the one thing about him. He's not good defensively. He was okay.
Awful defensively.
He was good with Kansas City, and when he went to New York, it just... downhill.
Well, that's usually what happens when people go to the Mets.
But here's the thing about the Yankee Stadium has that short porch and right, so he doesn't have a lot of field to cover. And like you said, they got Jacoby Ellsbury and Brett Gardner, so you can kind of shift to the right.
Yeah.
They have enough speed to cover more space.
And back to what you're talking about, Soriano's got a cannon.
Yeah.
He's got an absolute cannon.
Which is weird, because he came up as a second baseman.
I know.
Yeah, I remember that.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's why they moved him to right, because they're like, wow, you can...
Who did it? Was that Texas or Washington?
It was Washington who did it.
The Nat Knowles.
So I think, honestly, he's going to be a great fit, as much as I hate the pinstripes. I wanted the Red Sox to get him very badly. He'll be a perfect fit.
I just didn't think they needed him.
The Sox? They need something.
No, the Sox needed him. I didn't think the Yankees needed him. Outfield was one of the things that they say. Like, when they got Jacoby Ellsbury, that seemed like they were pretty set.
Right. They're just selfish. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Also boatload of money that they can pay all these players.
Remember when they were saying that we're trying not to pay over 189 and yada yada yada.
Thanks so much for that. How was that?
That went out the window.
Now back to a guy who's struggling. I seem to click on the guys back and forth. So Curtis Granderson signed with the New York Mets. He's a 4-year deal. I mean, this is like a future signing kind of deal that he's there to kind of. When Harvey comes back, they think that they can really compete. And I think they're going to make another sign this offseason. But he hasn't started off his Met career very good. He's 125 with only one home run. He has struck out 11 times already.
A lot. He's like Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, he's all power and no pizzazz. He has stolen two bases already. So that's a decent sign. After he stole 8 in 61 games last year.
His picture is too funny. It's making me laugh.
I don't know what that is. That's his face is shiny and weird.
Yeah,
but
he just got paid.
I'm gonna see that thing in my nightmares tonight.
Now, here's the thing with me. Why would any outfielder go to the Mets? That's where careers go to die.
That was the thing. Michael Ford was almost there last year, and then he went to Cleveland instead.
You have honestly, Curtis is playing awful. Beltran had a tough year. Jason Bay's career.
Holy crap. How bad was he?
I mean, you could go even before that with the Benny Agbayani.
Yeah.
And the...
outfielders don't go to New York. The Mets. I don't know why. You just don't play well.
No. Who was the guy? Oh, those were infielders. I was thinking Mo Vaughn and Roberto Alomar. Just don't, if you hit the ball, don't go to the Mets unless you're Mike Piazza.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Unless the Mets draft you.
Carlos Delgado.
Yeah.
Delgado fell off the map when he went to the Mets, and he got a huge contract. I remember that guy.
So I'm saying, if they don't draft you, don't go there.
Yeah, right? It's just, they're never going to be good.
Maybe in a few years.
They, need, like,
they
until
got
they
the
get,
pitching.
Until they get, like, yeah. Daryl Strawberry, like the third or something like that. They're not gonna. They just gotta get former greats that are good there.
Gary Carter.
They gotta have a lot of Bartolo Colon pitching and batting.
Yeah, right.
Probably one of the funniest stances I've seen.
He's so fat,
and it's so funny.
Wow.
So we're coming down to the wire. We got two more left, and they're connected to each other. We're gonna analyze the two who are in the Ian Kinsler and Prince Fielder trade. We're going to start off with Prince Fielder because he was kind of the what-if guy in this trade.
This was the first move of the offseason.
Pretty much. This happened just before free agency.
Monsterish.
A lot of people ask questions of whether he can hit without Miguel Cabrera in front of him.
I mean, he's always had somebody good in front of him.
He had Ryan Braun in Milwaukee.
Exactly. Yeah. He's always had somebody good. I mean, he still does have somebody good in front of him. The Texas lineup is...
Beltre
is... unbelievable.
Beltre's pretty good.
He's honestly, he
pretty
could deep, probably go down to the Hall of Fame. Honestly,
maybe
with his statistics, he gets a ring.
He needs some. Yeah, he needs some
if
help.
If he gets a ring and maybe a bunch more home runs, he'll be fine.
He's probably one of the best third basemen we've seen in our lifetime.
Well, he's only 29, so he's got plenty. Oh, and he has the same birthday as me.
But yeah.
Fielder
has been on a slump since the Detroit Red Sox series where he could not do anything. Because the Red Sox stifling pitching fooled him.
He's just...
I was
something was off about him last year. Because the year before, he was MVP-like.
Maybe he was juicing.
Getting
that stuff from Ryan Braun.
108 RBIs. 313 average is what really sticks out from 2012. And you see 2013, he drops 35 points, basically.
I mean, it's, you know, the... NL, AL pitching got better. AL is such a better division than the NL. It's not even, besides St. Louis.
And Los Angeles.
No, screw Los Angeles.
I mean, Los Angeles would still be a good team in the American League, too.
They'd be decent. I think they're super overhyped. I really do. Kershaw's amazing. I think Greinke's
very good.
He's okay.
I think he'd be very good if he's not a psychopath like he was with the Brewers. Because he kind of like... He had like anxiety attacks when he was on the Brewers.
You can't. I mean, that's just natural. Look at Royce White in the NBA. But I'm super surprised that
Royce White. I think is a little. I think he's overplaying a little bit.
I don't at all.
He's kind
of
like
It's like his uncle died because of anxiety attacks. His heart couldn't handle it anymore. Like it's been his entire family.
All right, so it's genetic for him.
But then you don't become I'm not trying to be insensitive, but you don't become a star athlete then. There's a certain expectation that comes with it. And you know that going in. You don't become a star athlete and be like, this is going to be easy.
But he just got signed, though.
Yeah, who did he sign with? The Kings?
And he's playing.
Yeah, so...
That's great.
That's good for him. I wanted him to be baseball.
I got to be the host now. Come on. I'm not surprised Prince isn't raking.
162, yeah.
I think we could see the downfall of Prince, honestly.
I mean, he needs to talk to his daddy because Cecil
Prince to Jester.
Yeah, Cecil had a nice little resurgence at the end of his career with the Yankees and with a couple other teams, Blue Jays. So, I mean, he's got to rekindle that relationship because daddy could help him. If Cecil Fielder was a part of his life more, like that, I'm not going to get into the logistics of why he's not talking to his dad or whatever. I don't care. But at some point, you want to bury the hatchet and he can help you in your career because. He's currently going through something that his dad did go through, and all big guys go through. Once, like, you start getting into your late 20s, early 30s, you don't have the speed as a big guy that you once did. Like, it starts to seriously wear on you 30 years of being
big. If you don't keep up with your physical condition, your bat speed gets slower.
Yeah.
Your eye contact is not as good. Your game starts to diminish, so... I love Prince Fielder. He's one of my favorites.
I think he'll bounce back.
I really don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But I say probably by mid-May, he probably will start coming back a little bit.
And then on the other side of the road, you have Ian Kinsler.
He's been raving.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's been pissed. He didn't want to get traded. He's pissed that he got traded.
That's, so he's doing work. Word.
And you know, to be honest,
he's letting it motivate him.
To be honest, I didn't. This trade is so much bigger now that
Jose Iglesias.
Jose Iglesias got hurt. It's so much bigger than Jose. I thought it was a wash. Texas was going to win that lights out. I'm not the biggest Ian Kinsler fan. Is he worth $20 million? No. Not in my
mind.
He
kind of goes under the radar.
Not in my mind.
He's not a power. He had that one good big. He had two big power seasons where he had over 30 home runs. Last two, 19 and 13.
I mean, but he's a great fit for Detroit because they just lost Peralta.
Yeah. Right.
So I think, you get rid of a troubled first baseman, you get a very good second baseman. The salaries are pretty much a wash. You just swap players.
I mean, I know Detroit basically paid Texas to take Fielder. They gave them like $40 million or something to put towards the Prince contract.
I mean,
don't quote me on the figure, but it's in that ballpark.
If they're that unhappy or unpleased with Prince, then you know something's up. If you're really going to give up.
Yeah, there might have been something off the field that like we just didn't know about because trade came out of nowhere.
That's what happens with all-star athletes.
Most of that stuff is anyways. It's like, where did this come from? I mean, and then like a couple days
later. I love going to other sports. Lamar Odom, look what happened with him. Look at Paul George. He got a stripper pregnant and then he just... Woo!
Did not know that happened.
That's why...
Probably a bad idea.
He's been terrible ever since that incident. So, you know... That's something to keep in
mind. That's bad for Indiana because Indiana is not looking so good.
They're not good at all.
See.
Back to baseball.
Yeah.
I think this trade will end up helping Detroit. I think that
Kinsler
finds new life.
I don't know. And
that,
it's aggravating.
That AL Central isn't very good.
No, besides Detroit, it's not at all.
The next best team is probably the Royals.
Royals are the Indians.
But they're both Indians are gonna fall.
But look at both of their pitching staffs. One has Danny Salazar and Justin Masterson, and then
I think Cleveland has a better pitching staff.
But the Kansas City is just straight up James Shields and what?
If they could have got Santana,
Irvin Santana,
Irvin Santana back. I always forget his first name. He signed a 1-year deal with the Braves. $14 million. Give that to him
at the end of.
Give that to him. You have cap room. You have, like, not even cap room.
Yeah.
You only can shell out that money. When he was on the mound, their ticket revenues were skyrocketing.
No.
So that doesn't make any sense. If I'm a Royals fan, I'm angry at that. But the Royals, honestly, are going to be good. They are good. They're the only,
in my
mind, the only competition to.
Although Mike Moustakas has been awful. He's been, God, I think he has one hit.
I'm not even looking
season.
At that. I'm looking at Gordon. Gordon's the superstar.
Gordon's done work. He's
that's a superstar for this team, honestly.
He's played much better in his career since they moved him to the outfield. Because when he was third base, he was trying to do too much. It seemed like when they moved him to the outfield, and he kind of
he's averaged one of 45 points.
Yeah. So,
monsters.
That looks like it's it for us. I want to thank Ryan Fadis for coming
you.
On. It's always good having you on, and I want to thank Steve Accardi.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
I'm Nick Villano, and tune in next week for more Going Yard.
This is a product of the U92 Sports Department. The opinions on this podcast are not necessarily the opinions of WWVUFM or West Virginia University.